Hi, this is Russ, and we're getting ready to deal with chapter, or in your notes, page 5, which is session 5, called, in the Black Awakening, called Collapsing the Wall. Now, we've already touched on, in 4, the Black Awakening and what it actually is. We haven't yet got to the creation of the Super Soldiers, how it all came about, why they're here, just that we need to understand something. The Antichrist could never come to power without hundreds of thousands behind him, without massive planning. Even in the small Greek polises, the cities, where there would be these rebellions, these revolts, this coup of taking over and replacing with a new regime because of dissatisfaction or because another ruling class wanted to take power and take the day. So this is something so much bigger and broader. But then again, what we're dealing with, life and death and eternity, and the return of the living Christ, this is all big stuff. This is it. And this is what we as believers have been hearing in prophetic training and teaching and so forth from the scriptures. This is what we've been sensing around us, that it's ominous, that it's in the air. Listen, when I talk to New Agers, when I talk to all kinds of folks, everybody has this sense of fear looking over their shoulders, that it's all going to break loose, that literally hell is going to break loose, and that's what the concept of Black Awakening is. So the feeling, the vibe, the sense of it, that's one side. Now, the real Luciferians or the Brotherhood and or the Chosen Ones and those who created them, those who gave the programming and the assignments, and that backs up then to the elite. Some call that the Illuminati. Whatever you want to call them, please understand, there are those who are in direct relationship with Lucifer. They literally believe, Luciferian doctrine is the fact that they literally believe that he's the shining one. He was cheated. He'll have his, you know, place. He's coming, you know, to take his rule and to oust Christ. Anton LaVey, in the book called The Church of Satan, referred to the church as the rotting corpse of Christendom, and that the satanic new age is about to come. This was in the 90s, and that there were songs. There was one called Rage Satanus, literally songs that have been written concerning this, and the songs involve bloodshed and chaos and the attack on Christendom, what they believe is left of it, and their view of annihilating the spiritual interference, the spiritual resistance, and getting out of the way those who don't want to be a part of the regime, their new world order, their new ascendancy to power, and getting them all out of the way. So again, whatever streams you read this from, or whatever your background, again, integrate the information. In the book that we have will come out, we'll have more literal quotes and references and things like that. Here we are giving the overview, and we're giving the overview in the sense that you probably have a lot of things that you can integrate and connect the dots with too. The bottom line concept is biblical. What does the Word of God teach concerning the parousia, the coming of the Lord, the arrival of the Lord Jesus Christ for his saints? Concerning that day, it will not occur, as we already saw. It will not happen until two massive events that will affect the entire world, that will be like the tsunami that occurred in Sumatra, that will be like the hurricanes that occurred in New Orleans. It'll be the VTech type shootings and the 9/11 attack on the buildings. It'll be so much more than all of that. Those are just scratches at the surface of what the Black Awakening is all about. And they know it, and they are plotting it, and they have no trouble with the bloodshed. They believe it's necessary. Doctrines in the New Age, doctrines on Alice Bailey, as we've already said, the spiritual doctrine is already there. The didache of the demons. And they are teaching and seducing. And there are people, and it's coming through hypocritical liars. And that phrase in 1 Timothy 4, the hypocritical liars, they're channels for the demonic teaching. That would include Eric Von Däniken. That would include Paul Von Wohr. That would include Rudolf Steiner. That would include, you know, again, make the list, Aleister Crowley. That would include Alice Bailey and Helena. And that would include Benjamin Krim. That would include so many others, David Spangler and others, that the teaching has to come through. Somebody has to write the book. Somebody has to do the stuff. Somebody has to channel the spirits. Somebody has to amass the presence. Somebody has to listen to this, to the other side. Because, dear friends, the satanic side, the demonic realm, the troops are massed at the border, ready for the Black Awakening, ready to revel in the bloodshed, to be unleashed through both ritual and blood ritual in a mass societal sense, to literally fill the air with their presence. There will be a change in the very atmosphere of the world just before and specifically at the Black Awakening that paves the way for the possibility of the apocalypse of, listen, the Antichrist, who will make Hitler look like a toy from a Cracker Jack's box. Under his leadership, in less than 7 years, billions will die. In the Black Awakening, millions. And now that's why we're at point page 5 on your notes, calling this collapsing the wall. One of the reasons for the Black Awakening is the collapsing of the wall, in the sense of society. There has to be a breaking down of the current regime in order for a whole new regime to come in, whether in a little city or a state or a government or in nations. This is now going to be a multinational attempt. Not just Germany. We saw that in Germany. You do know the Nazis, it was a regime change. It came through bloodshed and the promises of new economic promises and national pride and unification of Germany and Germany getting its rights back. And everything was promised to a hurting and desperate people. And the deception led to destruction, as we'll see it happen again and again and again. You and I, as believers, are to be able to look with spirit-lit eyes, looking at the words of the scriptures and seeing and saying like Peter did on the day of Pentecost, this is that which Isaiah said or Ezekiel said or what 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 said or what Jesus said in Matthew 24. The goal of the Black Awakening is not only this bloodshed, the issue of a spiritual onslaught to change the spiritual atmosphere. And maybe there should have been just an entire thing on that issue alone. It's about changing the spiritual atmosphere. But it involves, in order to do that, you've got to collapse the wall. What is the wall in their view? When I've talked to Chosen Ones, the Luciferians, what's the wall? The Western world right now is the wall. That's true as Islam looks at. Islam can't come to world domination unless, and the Mahdi can't come to rule unless the West is dealt with. The West and Israel and Christians all have to be dealt with in order for the Mahdi to take the throne in Israel and then rule the world. And this is true again of those other spiritual streams, which we won't go into again. Three primary things concerning the idea of the wall. Number one, a spiritual wall, where there is still, you know, the body of Christ and the spiritual, you know, the prayers of millions of Christians are still going up all over. There are revivals going on all over. There are people being reached all over the place. As I already mentioned, one of the largest churches in world history concerning the church in 2,000 years is in Nigeria. The church, a local church, has reached 2 million members. With David Yonggi Cho in Seoul, Korea, South Korea, we find that one local church has reached 1 million members, and they have up to 10 services on a Sunday in a I believe it's a 50,000 seat sanctuary, or maybe that's the Nigerian one. One of them has a 20,000 seat, the other has a 50,000 seat, and they flow in. Now the thing about it is they're not just amassed as spectators. As a matter of fact, in the church in Seoul, Korea, if you're an usher, you can't be an usher unless you're a soul winner, unless you're involved in prayer. In the Sunrak Baptist Church, where healings have occurred and the dead have been raised and massive signs and wonders, and they have grown now to 500,000 to 600,000 members. You know what they do? They spend hours, they send thousands of people to the mountain areas to pray. They believe that their prayers has really opened the heavens. In the Seoul, Korea church, one church alone, the average is 12,000 salvations per month. 12,000 salvations per month. I don't know if you've ever been a part of a revival, been a part where God strikes. And I would encourage you to read the revival and the awakenings where Jonathan Edward in England and cried out, and in the United States, where literally God in great power, great, great, great power. There are two books I'll just mention. They're not on any list yet. I'll add them to the list later. But one's called A Blaze for God by Wesley Duell. And he has a companion book on revival by Wesley Duell. If you will read those two books, you will see a person who has deep, deep, deep spiritual experience and has experienced and knows the incredible power of God personally, corporately, and nationally. He knows what a revival can do. He tells story after story after story after story of recorded revivals. Let me tell you one. At the Battleship North Carolina years and years and years and years ago, the Battleship North Carolina, Four Christians got together and asked the captain, can we go down and have a room and just have a meeting place? We'd like to pray. So the captain told them to go all the way down to a ruddy old, you know, room down at the bottom of the ship. And there's where the four mostly backslidden believers went to try to pray, to try to read the Bible, to try to get together. As they began to do that, the Spirit of God struck in such a way, with such power, that they began to pray and cry out and sing to God and quote Scripture, and sailors began to hear the noise, and they began to go down to mock them and make fun. But as they arrived and saw them, they were stricken by the power of God and repented and were saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. This happened again and again and again, to where much of the entire battleship, the crew, was saved and on fire for Christ. Then they would go from port to port to port on the Atlantic coast. And every port they would go to, the sailors would come off and be singing and praising God and sharing how they got saved and how they're forgiven and God changed their life and what God did and the power of God. And they would sing and pray, and they would lead people to Christ in the town and on the ports. Now listen, as I read the report, here's what it said, that conservative estimates that 1 million people came to Christ in a 6-month period. That is the power of God, and it began with four individuals. What can God do through your life? All things are possible with God. We know we're talking about some of the most horrific things. They're going to come because the legal rights for the satanic working are here, because human hearts have given over, because human hearts have closed their heart and mind to the living God. Providentially, maybe somebody's going to get this in military, in some secret room. Somebody's going to send it to somebody. And we've prayed that it would providentially get to some, even Luciferians, those who know the agenda, that you might be gripped by the power of God and know that you are in danger of eternal destruction. Jesus said, what would it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? And I would say to everyone who's taking this as a course, as a student, or as a researcher, or someone who's trying to connect all the dots, let me tell you something, and let me ask you something. It's on the page, page 5. Where will you be when the great revolt, the Black Awakening, the mass rebellion occurs? And what will you do? What will you do? Collapsing the wall involves collapsing the spiritual one. It all, the great revolt planned by the Luciferians and planned by the satanic secret power of lawlessness is all about collapsing the spiritual strength and the spiritual might of the body of Christ, of bringing great damage to it and eliminating the presence of the Spirit of God in manifestation through the body of Christ, and then exerting the newly released massive demonic presence in the world around us. That's what it's all about. A burst of satanic power changing the atmosphere. Secondly, Secondly, because it all springs from the spiritual realm first. Secondly, it will affect the world of politics. They have to collapse the Western Wall. They've got to collapse the United States government. They've got to collapse the UK's government and parts of Europe still. There has to be a collapse. Part of it's already in place. They've already got sleepers in all the parts of government. And behind the sleepers are the leaders of the Luciferian elite who are ready to take their places. They help plot and plan, and they're the ones that know who is going to be targeted and taken out and where they need to be to take over. That's how it's plotted. That's how it's planned. This is more sophisticated than any military in existence. The United States military will not stand. UK's military will not stand. The political systems of the UK and the United States will collapse for a period of time. And it's all about collapsing the spiritual wall to collapse the political wall. And then thirdly, the military and law enforcement walls. The idea of being able to sabotage U.S. military, that's why I feel horrible for many soldiers, because there is a shadow military that has been infused since the 1950s, that this agenda has been going on and on and on and on and on and on and on. Yes, the Nazis were behind that in the rat lines and in the German doctors and in the all the concepts and the spiritual concepts. They pulled the wool over the eyes of unsuspecting U.S. intelligence officers and government officials and military officials. Something so big, instead of being one nation, it is now to be global. They must collapse the wall, the spiritual wall, the political wall, and the wall of military or might or force in law enforcement. And so when the Black Revolt occurs, Black Awakening occurs, the Great Revolt occurs, here's what I'm told. I'm told by numerous ones who are both assassins and others, and they say, listen, in the law enforcement areas, we will have people there that when it all breaks loose, they're going to sabotage the weapons room. They're going to sabotage SWAT teams on military bases and among reserves and others. They're going to be sleepers who are activated to sabotage other military people. In other words, when the Great Revolt is unleashed, and killing and mayhem and murder and explosions begin to occur everywhere, guess what happens? Well, of course, you know, law enforcement wants to respond. And then government, you know, many times has to call out, you know, the National Guard. But if there is a battle within law enforcement and a battle within military and National Guard, guess what? And then the cries for what? Martial law. And FEMA and all the rest, is all of it will begin to come into play. All of those things. It's not about what we have feared has come upon us. Listen, it's not a fear in that sense. I know who I am. I know who I believe. I know the sovereign God. I know the indestructible nature of the salvation God gives us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ, Romans chapter 8. Nothing in all creation, not in heaven and hell, no demon, no angel, nothing. Nothing. We are more than conquerors through him who, you know, through the Lord Jesus. If God be for us, who can be against us? So the revolt is against God. The revolt is against the spiritual presence of the kingdom of God. Number one, the revolt is to come against that wall. I mean, even New Agers understand the idea that something is holding back their explosion into this whole new spiritual evolved humanity. Something. There is a resistor, a resistance. And 2 Thessalonians speaks about, listen, the Black Awakening is not going to occur until the sovereign hand of God removes the one that resists this whole unleashing. The Black Awakening is held back by the hand of God. Hallelujah. Shows you again the sovereignty of God. God is going to step back. Again, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, study it out. The secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but we know what's holding it back. And God has a resistor. And it's not the church, and it's not the Spirit of God. It is, bottom line, it's the sovereign hand of God. Some say, well, this is an angel. that holds back this explosion of the evil of the Black Awakening and the apocalypse of Antichrist. He can't come forward. They're working at it. They're working at it. They're doing rituals. They're doing all they can. They're working at it. You know what it's like? I don't know if you were ever a kid. You know, when you were a kid, you maybe made like us. One of the fun things in the summertime, we were kids. We weren't very wealthy, but we had bags of balloons, and we would take those balloons. And if you had the water, you know, thing, or the hose, or the nozzle at the house, you could run up and put the balloon around that little thing and turn the water on, and the balloon would begin to fill up and get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Now, many times we want them to get really big, but you know what? So many times we couldn't judge the pressure. And you know how it was. The balloon would get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger because of what was inside the balloon. Then all of a sudden, the balloon would break. And everything on the inside would come gushing out. That is the picture of the Black Awakening and the apocalypse of Antichrist. From the spiritual side, the hordes of hell are at the gates. That like a thin barrier binding them. They're building up. They're pushing. The pressure is there. The pressure is there. The pressure is there. And when the resistor is taken out of the way, when the resistance is taken out of the way, there'll be this onslaught, this tsunami, the Black Awakening. And right on top of the Black Awakening, when Antichrist and his regime has judged enough is enough, that they have collapsed the wall spiritually, that they've collapsed the political systems, that they've collapsed military and law enforcement, that they've raised it far enough, that they've destroyed it enough, then a second activation and a second call will come into play. And some of those same chosen ones and called multiples that were there creating the chaos, the suicide program will kick in. They will kill themselves. Just like we see in some of the test runs, they will kill themselves. We're talking hundreds of thousands of chosen ones on the streets, in the buildings, all over the place, taking out their targets. And when a second activation, a wave comes, they take themselves out. Many of them will take themselves out. But that activation may also kick in others who will then begin to pledge allegiance to the new world leader and call everybody to attention, saying, listen, and then begin to implement a bonding towards the new world leader. He's our savior. He will save us. Look at his regime. Look what he's doing. Now, if you are on page 5 on point B, take a look at point B. The Antichrist, the AC Antichrist, must reduce the USA and the world in order to become the superpower in the sense of spiritual, political, and military, because the Bible teaches us very clearly in the book of Revelation that when Antichrist, the beast, is in, when he's ruling and reigning, he will rule and reign on a spiritual level, the spiritual level of the rise of Babylon and so forth. He will rule and reign in the political realm. He will rule and reign in the military. He has to have the largest, most empowered military. He has to enforce the political, and the political is initiated by the spiritual. Everything is done that way. And that's true of, again, the picture of the rise of the Nazis. Bob Rosio in the book, Hitler in the New Age, that's what he discusses very carefully. The occult presence, the demonic presence. Dusty Skylar also in her book concerning the rise of the Nazis and so forth, and the occult agenda behind the rise of the Nazis. The same issue is the dark powers were there. That was the first big, the great proliferation of occultic literature. That's when secret societies and all of those spiritual New Age-ish left-hand path and Luciferian leaders began to come to power behind the scenes and help initiate Hitler and help initiate Himmler. And Himmler at Wurzburg Castle in the Hall of the Dead, in the incredible rituals and the goal for the Nephilim blood, the powers of the demonic realm that was in the blood of the Nephilim, of the Aryans, to bring that back. And it all was initiated from the desire of the demonic kingdom to bring about a human host. Now, this is going to be on a national, not just a national level, but a global level. And so the breaking down, there has to be. If it just occurred in the United States or in Europe right now, like in the days of Hitler. Hitler, without, if no one would have stopped Hitler, the goal was for a 1,000-year reign. He began the Lebensborn project, in which they were to, the women that had Aryan blood were to be matched with men who had Aryan blood, that had the genetics of that Aryan superpower blood that would turn them into a master human race. And that the next generation, the hundreds of thousands of babies that were born in the late 40s, born in that project to become Aryan, to become the soldiers and the ruling class of a global empire. Please understand something. They not only had their own babies, but they also checked out children in Czechoslovakia and in Poland and so forth. Do a study concerning Lebensborn. Please understand, the babies that were born in the late 40s, most of them are still alive in their early 60s right now. And they had handlers. They were given to families. They were part of the rat lines. They were taken to South America and Africa and through the rat lines of the Catholic Church. The infiltration of the Catholic Church was occurring during those times. In the United States, the German internment camps in Pennsylvania, where they released the Nazis, the Germans, and they released them with new papers and their names and so forth. The OSS and the CIA, which became the CIA, acquiring the Operation Paperclip, acquiring the Nazi scientists and bringing all them over here. Nazis didn't go away; they just went everywhere. And you got to understand that there are Nazis in their 80s that are still believing. I've encountered them. I've dealt with them. It'd be interesting if you've seen the movie Apt Pupil. If you go to the local video store to buy or get a hold of, I forget anything else about it other than just, I just encourage you to get a video called Apt Pupil. Because behind a lot of the chosen ones is a Nazi oriented, but more of a globalized Nazi oriented, the agenda to create a master race that can be the soldiers. Listen, I've had chosen one after chosen one. Once we've got inside of the subpersonalities, tell us again and again, we are the troops of Antichrist. We are the troops of Antichrist. They've even told me that they understand what the actual mark of the beast is all about, and they're preparing for to be involved with that. Even when the Black Awakening is over and Antichrist comes to power, please understand something. He still has to have a political base and a military force to enforce the new rule. So the three go hand in hand: spiritual, political, and military. And all three are seen in the book of Revelation. All three of these are cultivated, or come to cultivation, in Revelation chapter 19, verse 19, where you see the armies of Antichrist. Where in chapter 16, you see this triangulation of a classic spiritual ritual, a demonic or a satanic ritual, where the beast, the dragon, and the false prophet out of their mouth, because they don't have to conjure spirits, they have the demons within. And they're to call them up from themselves and send them out to the kings of the earth, like at the Bohemian Grove. If you've seen from Alex Jones's inside video clips, I engaged individual chosen ones who've been to Bohemian Grove. One girl gave me her necklace that had the little owl, told me in detail what's done there and the monarchs that are used there for sex issues and all kinds of stuff and the rituals that go on. The whole place is literally filthy demonically, in the sense that it is a place where for over 200 years they've been doing this and drawing world leaders. They're doing over there in secrecy what the Antichrist, the dragon, and the false prophet will do in Revelation 19. Revelation 19, out of their mouths come spirits. They go out to do what? To through a miraculous and supernatural working, they're to gather the kings of the whole world and draw them to the day of the great battle of God, the great battle of the day of God Almighty. That's what it's all about. So you see that the spiritual initiates the political, it initiates the military side, the enforcement side, and even drawing the largest army and the largest level of weaponry and nations together in world history. Revelation 19:19. Revelation 16 talks about, we've already gone over this, talks about the unleashing of the powers that take them to another level of initiation to bring them together. So I want you to understand this is how it works. They have to bring first a collapsing of the spiritual, the political, and the law enforcement or military side first. And in doing that, they can then, as they've cleared the playing field, they can then put in their spiritual regime, which will be a massive unleash of demonic presence. They will put in their political machine, empowered by that spiritual mass. And they will draw the military back into order and all of a sudden have a global military. And they're going to tell the world, the world's going to be told that it has to be this way to save the world, to unify the world, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The old way didn't work. We now are in the new world order. Take your dollar bill out. Look at that pyramid. Look at that eye. Look at that new secular world order. This is not conspiracy in the sense of some game. This is not just discussion after discussion after discussion. Can I just say something right here real quick? In the book of Acts, Paul went to the Areopagus where he's going to preach Christ. There the Epicurean philosophers and Stoic philosophers, all they ever did was spend all day long talking about new concepts, and which included spirituality and philosophies and things and intelligence and design and all kinds of stuff. You know, there's radio programs out there right now doing the same thing. All they talk about is spiritual concepts and this conspiracy and that and, you know, intelligent this and everything else is discussed, and there is, there is bits and pieces of the truth and all that kind of stuff. And then Paul had to come and preach what the living God had to say as far as absolute reality. Because 3,000 years ago, a prophecy was given in Psalm 2. About why the nations rage or conspire. There is a real conspiring, a real conspiracy that's detailed out in 2 Thessalonians 2. And behind that is a secret empowerment, a secret power of lawlessness, a operation that is against everything that God has established. And so the Black Awakening clears the field. And along with clearing the field is collapsing the wall spiritually, politically, militarily. And then we need to understand our role, if you're in the United States or if you're in Great Britain. And I also have people in other parts of the world, including Austria and other places, that are involved in this course. And this course is being absolutely redesigned in this last week. And we're redesigning some of the materials and we're adding to. We're giving so much more information to all of it. And this one right here is a brand new redevelopment. We had to redo this one to bring you to the point where you will see that the Black Awakening or the biblical Great Rebellion or Great Revolt, God just tells us what that is. But if you take again the biblical definition of that, carry it to the original use among the Greeks, carry it into the use concerning the Septuagint with Moses, you're going to understand that it's concerning a massive burst, not in a local city, not in one nation, but in a multinational level for the sake of a takeover. So they have to collapse the wall. And there's a cry. There's a cry in Europe for the, as I already said, the if you read Alvin Toffler's The Third Wave, there's a chapter called the Messiah Complex. And there's a cry. That's true of Yugoslavia. That's no longer Yugoslavia. It's broken down into all kinds of nation states. When the Antichrist comes, he's not going to allow all this breakdown. He wants one world order. He wants one spiritual rule, one political rule, one military rule. He wants to bring it all together But that's not the ultimate. And then, obviously, to enthrone himself, again, according to 2 Thessalonians 2, to enthrone himself as God and announce to the world that he's God. Pretty soon people are going to begin to see this. Israel and its covenant is going to begin to see this. And then that's when we'll get eventually to the middle part of the Great Tribulation, the Hey Thalipsis, Hey Magali, will begin in the middle part when the wrath of Antichrist is unleashed towards Christendom, towards Israel. And as that is unleashed, the wrath of God begins to be unleashed against the beast kingdom and what he is doing. And we'll get into that later in the sessions. In this session here, under point C, we want to let you know concerning the destruction and sabotage. Now listen, this is true spiritually. That's why I'm telling you now, and I'm warning you now, and I'm telling you that I believe it's biblical. I believe it comes from multiple streams. This is true in the Sudan, when, again, demonically, if the people will give in to the spiritual agenda behind Islam is to make force conversion by sword. So we have the Antichrist doing it by the mark of the beast, and we'll get into that later on, what exactly it means. But in Sudan, if you're not going to believe, you know, and become a Muslim, if you're not going to, you know, convert, they will throw you in the fires. I've got a video of a young boy whose family was killed, and he was thrown in the fire. He was told to reject Christ, to renounce Christ, and become a Muslim, to become, you know, come to Allah. And he refused, and he stands in this brilliant video. This brilliant video, this young African boy, and his body looks melted, his arms, his skin, his parts of his, all over, he looks melted, but he has this beaming smile. And he tells the people that watch the video that he did not reject Christ, that he did not give up Jesus Christ, that he proclaimed Christ, and that God preserved him, and he's become a massive spiritual testimony. But the spiritual agenda in Sudan, and there may be up to 2 million, listen to me, 2 million that were slaughtered. And the world says basically nothing. Yet there's Christians there. You know, there's many Christians there. There's Christians here in the United States that I've seen raise money to take it over there to buy back from the Muslims Christian slaves, our brothers and sisters. Do you think this is too big of an event, the Black Awakening and this collapsing of the wall spiritually, politically, and militarily? Do you think this is too big of an agenda? Come on. We're talking about, the Bible says Satan is the god of this age. 2 Corinthians 4:4. The Bible says that in 1 John chapter 5 that the evil one who controls or rules the whole world. We read the book of Revelation. This is the one who leads the whole world. The whole world astray. This is the one that took 1/3 of the angels, probably trillions of angels. Please understand that if he's given the room, he will do it. And he's been given the room again and again and again and again and again. It's because of mankind's rejection of God and giving Satan the legal rights to come in and rule and reign and do the stuff. That's why. That's absolutely why. So if you think in terms of World War I or World War II, close to 50 million people died. If you think in terms of Stalin in Russia after the Nazi war, World War II, afterwards, some estimate up to 20 million Russians were slaughtered and killed and put to death. And nobody, more Russians were killed and murdered than in the Holocaust, with 6 million Jews and maybe 6 or 7 million others, 13 million maybe some say. The slaughter, the wholesale slaughter. This is what you said, well, this could never happen again. Humanity cannot do this. This is we're educated now. Are you crazy? Are we crazy? It's because people can't perceive spiritually what's underneath the water. Most people have no idea. The New Agers have no idea. No idea of the radical, radical nature of the Satanic Kingdom. They have no idea, none whatsoever, of the ability to transform itself to make itself morph to look like an angel of light, to look appeasing and beautiful and wonderful and attractive. Satan's a master at that. That's what Eve saw in the garden, that it was pleasing to the eye. Deception leads always to destruction. We're told in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, don't let anybody deceive you. If you go back to Matthew's gospel, when Jesus is asked, when's the end of this, you know, when's the end going to come? When are these events going to occur? When's the end coming? The first thing out of Jesus' mouth is what? Not about the temple, not about the parousia, not about the apocalypse of him, not about the epiphany, not about any of that. The first thing out of Jesus' mouth, let no one deceive you. Christians, we are told by God, by the Word of God, the Spirit of God's language, we are told, don't let anybody deceive you. In 1 John, I'm writing to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. You can find this all the way through. You can find it in 2 Corinthians 11 about false apostles that are trying to guide the believers away from their pure and sincere devotion. That they're using the same level of that Satan's behind that false apostle and false doctrine. He's behind that, seeking to, with his cunning as the tempter, to lead them astray from their pure and sincere devotion to Christ. Have you read that in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2? Paul was concerned. Paul was concerned. I stand back concerned as I look around and I see people being led astray by all kinds of crazy things. When we have the Word of God to keep us... listen, we need to become biblically literate. We need to be saturated with the Word of God. Even the Word of God says in Colossians 3, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another. You know, we're told, read through Psalm 119 and see what the Word of God can do by being a light, you know, for our path and revives the soul and gives us wisdom and so many things, refreshes us and just the beauty. The Word of God warns the world. The Word of God tells us. The Gospel of John, they're written that we might believe. The Book of Revelation is written for the church to understand. And we're written to again and again and again. And so for us, we should be prepared. The Scriptures assumes the people of light, biblical, spiritual Christ, the real Christ light, that we should know what time it is. We should know the season. We should know, you know, that we're children of light, that we should not be caught up in the darkness. And that day should not surprise us. And so I'm going to tell you right now, the spiritual frog in the kettle development shouldn't surprise us. That there has been a progressive Satanization of society. Bob Rosier wrote a second book after the Hitler in the New Age called The Satanization of Society. Well, there's been a Satanization of society. And it's more than just politics. It's way beyond just politics. God told us in Ephesians 6 that it's not about flesh and blood. That's not where the battle is. The battle lies five times against the spiritual powers, demonic realm, principalities, powers, those in the heavenly, those on ground level, celestial demonic realm. All of it is, their whole empire has one agenda. And the agenda is to take the earth. And part of that, in their planning, has been, God knows their plan. There's not a thing they can plan or do that God doesn't know about. And so God sees where the legal grounds have been given. He sees what they're going to do. He sees what the plans are. And biblical prophecy, God gives us pictures and glimpses into the chunks, the big events that Satan will cause. So prior to the parousia, prior to our being gathered to Christ, the great revolt, mass black awakening, and then the apocalypse of Antichrist. Now listen, the black awakening is for, in this chapter we're looking at, I want you to remember again and again and again these three things. For what? Tearing down the wall, a spiritual wall, to push the body of Christ and Christians into the corner, because during the Black Awakening, they're going to take out many Christian leaders. You say, well, is this really true? Can that really be? Well, that's what's happening in Sudan. That's what happened in South Korea when the North Koreans came over. You know who they targeted? pastors. They targeted leaders. They targeted leaders. Can I tell you something? If you're on the cutting edge out there and doing ministry, you've been targeted probably. You've been targeted. I'm going to tell you some true stories, and in the book we'll have it down in more detail. I'm going to tell you right now where I used to live. We were dealing with a number of multiples and dealing with many, many of them. We were dealing with many of them and just spending, again, hundreds of hours with numerous ones, and they were coming from everywhere. And God was just opening the door for us to minister them, to bring healing and salvation and deliverance and so forth. But in the process, information was coming out of their mouths, and they were bringing us boxes of materials and tapes and everything else, and telling us again and again and again, coming from different states and different places and all over, even out of Canada. And in all of that process, during that time, we were listening. God was providentially giving us, you know, the insight. And, you know, we're going back and forth in prayer. And some of those phenomenal things occurred. Now, one time when we were dealing with a number, and we were dealing with a federal officer's wife who was a multiple, who has German background, who could speak personalities inside her, could speak fluent German. She had a priestess on the inside named Maria that was connected to a grandmother in Germany. She's the one that when she went to Germany, took her 13-year-old daughter, came back, and gave me and I've got it to this very day. I might put it up on the web here sooner or later, but a picture of an SS soldier. I guess he might still be alive, maybe in his late 80s, 90s, I don't know. But maybe he's dead by now, because this was in the early 90s. It's a picture of an SS soldier in full uniform, and on the back of it, his name is Otto Kreitz. And on the back of it, signed, "The Black Flame." You see, the real Luciferians, they understand the concept of the black flame, that a black flame is rising, that behind the scenes, the black flame. So out of many of the law enforcement engagements and dealing with, you know, multiples and people and handlers coming and threats and guns, you know, bullets being put on staff members' cars and all kinds of crazy stuff, we were told about watchers and enforcers and handlers back in those days too. So in a couple of the cases, we were told about a guy, and I'm just going to call him Fred. That's not his real name, but just let's say Fred. And I was a police chaplain at the time, and they were allowing me to teach on satanic cult crime at the police academy here locally, in the actual academy, so they can see what I know. That was why I was recruited, because I was recruited by a high complex, highly trained cult multiple who was in law enforcement. I didn't know it at first, but that's who recruited me to become their chaplain. And as I did the work there, of course, gladly, and share Christ and be there with officers and loved it and shared and taught in the academy, and, you know, all kinds of things occurred. All kinds of things occurred. And in a couple of cases, we were getting reports of this guy named Fred. That's not his real name, but let's call him Fred. Fred was a watcher. They said, they talked about what he looked like, his build, his hair, everything else, gave descriptions. Well, and this occurred about three or four cases. And one day after we were on an assignment, came back to a house. I was living in a safe house for 5 years, basically kind of hidden, but eventually, because I brought multiples there back in that day, we learned that the inside informer parts just simply told the Cubans and the military folks, rogue military folks, where we lived. So one day I go in the house, and one of my other guys, we call it a piggybacker's, in another vehicle, he's parked up the street watching my house. As I go in and I'm inside doing whatever else, I come out to see that nobody's out here. I'm wondering where my friend went. Finally, he comes tearing back, you know, back into, we had a big parking lot next to our house, to this neighboring place, and they pulled in, and they said, Russ, you know, they come running up to me. They said, I was sitting there behind this church over here, pointing at your house, looking, watching your house, and some lady drove right up into your yard, on the edge of your yard, right into it, though, basically, and a big old guy with long blonde hair got out and was taking pictures of your house. And he says, I started my engine, and they saw me, and I started chasing him. I lost him. He said, I chased him all through areas of the city, but I lost him. And so I checked out with some of the multiples, and they told me, it's this guy named Fred. He's former military. So here's what I did. I was downstairs praying the very next day. I said, God, if this guy's for real, if he's a watcher, I'm telling you before God a true story. And it's not over yet. I asked the Lord, you know, concerning if this guy's for real, I'm asking you to expose him or reveal him. And I'm telling you the truth before God. As I walked up the stairs and looked through, I was coming through the kitchen, we had like a lattice type thing over the windows where you can kind of see out, you know, they were, you know, just, you know, see out. You couldn't really see so much in, but you can see out. And I looked across the street and I saw a vehicle. And as I came, I got up to the window area and kind of took a sneak peek. And here was Fred, this guy, in his description, sitting across there. And when I moved the lattices of the window, boom, he took off like a crazy man. So I went back down to the law enforcement department that I was part of, and I went to this one person that I was dealing with, and I said, listen, I want to know who this person is. And they finally gave me the whole name, and they ran an NCIC report. Now listen, we were trying to help this person get out of what they were into also, but they ran a report and they gave it to me. I tracked down the very house. I had a picture of this man, former military. He's an enforcer. What they do is they send him around to do reconnaissance on anybody helping multiples. This is probably true about every pastor, every counseling center. Please understand this. You've got handlers and then watchers and enforcers that get reconnaissance to see what you're doing, to see what's going on. They will send a cult multiple into your offices to act like they're a victim and they need help, while the sub-personalities are gaining reconnaissance and learning about you and taking the information back. You're being spied on. You're being spied on. And I went right to this guy's house. It's about a 30-minute drive from my own. And I began to pray. To this very day, almost 10 years later or more, I'm praying for the same guy. And I'm going to tell you the truth right before the Lord. We're living in a new home right now. And we were living in an apartment for about 4.5 years. We lived in another house in one area, and we moved out of there and got into an apartment. And now we got a larger place. And this is literally where I do all my broadcasting from. And not even 2 weeks into the new house, the driveway's long and it curves around. I came around, and this is by the providence of God. I come around the corner and I face a Cadillac Escalade. And I look into that vehicle and there's Fred, and a woman is sitting next to him. I get out of my truck and go around and say, what do you need? This guy, Fred, the military cult multiple himself, who is a enforcer, big, strong looking military kind of guy, wouldn't even look at me, because he knew he was caught. This just occurred 4.5 months ago. And she says, oh, we're just taking pictures, because we have a tire that hangs down from a tree, you swing on a tire, kids do, and we have a lot of scenery and all that around here. And we just came to take a picture. Said, okay, if we take a picture of the tire hanging from the tree, it's a really neat picture. So I just looked at him and smiled. I said, sure, take your picture. And I drove on, and I've seen the car one other time now. And no question that they've already taken pictures of this house. No question that when the Black Awakening is unleashed, pastors, leaders, individuals have already been targeted. And the wall must come down, which includes people like you and me that might want to stand so bold and so strong for the Lord that they know we would fight a antichrist satanic regime, that we would seek to expose it. It's been fighting hell sometimes to do what we have done over the years. I have seen casualties. I have seen Christians fall. I have seen people's houses and vehicles and other things attacked. We have seen enormous spiritual attack like crazy. So if you're a true brother or sister in Christ that is truly a student or a researcher taking this course, I would ask that you pray for us. But I would ask for you to really pray through and think through all of what we're talking about. Because I can tell you story after story after story about how the preparations for this is going on. And you'll hear more and more as we go. And one of the issues is this, that they are planning in the Black Awakening. They are planning to collapse the wall. And if the wall the wall spiritually must collapse, which means they're going to blow up church buildings. They're going to bring massive chaos and confusion to the body of Christ. They're going to take out pastors, just like the North Koreans did coming into South Korea, just like Muslims are doing when they're going into the Sudan areas, just like in Iraq and other places when they get mad enough. Again, the dark spiritual wave moves them and they blow up Christian churches, or they attack churches, or they shoot a nun in the back. You've got to understand, it flows from a demonic spiritual side. It moves into and through lives dedicated to that side in some one form or another. You better understand that during the Black Awakening, that the occultic side and all of that, they're going to revel in this. They're going to finally see that all of what they wanted changed. They want the wall, the Western Wall, to come down. They want politics as is to come down. They all crying for a new age, a new world, a new politic, a new leadership, a Messiah complex, but wrong Messiah because of wrong beliefs. And they don't have the Spirit of God to aid them like you do if you're a believer in Christ. So under point C on your page, destruction and sabotage everywhere. Yes, it will occur. It will occur in churches. It will occur all over the place. We've seen pictures of this already in churches. We've seen where they've been taken out, where Christians specifically, if the young boys that shot up everybody in the Columbine episode were not programmed, if they were not, which they may have been, I'm not sure about this yet. They may have been. There may be background behind all of this. But for some reason, they were willing to pointedly take out Christians. Pointedly take out Christians. And what you see there, again, is nothing in comparison to this massive event. Well, within the structure and time period, whether it lasts a month, 4 months, I don't know the length. To me, it bursts like a massive balloon. It comes on the scene, and then response has to come. Response breaks down. Anarchy is setting in. Hopelessness and fear. People are going to take their own weapons out. There are going to be shootings and killings and hoarding of food, and all the rest is going to go on. That's why there's so much survival. People know this. Maybe you're one of them. But I wonder where you're going to be during that time. And I wonder how you're going to respond during that time. And you better believe this, that if you're not anchored into the living Christ, into the Word of God, and if you're not going to be a brave soldier of Jesus Christ to be able to step out and be a powerful, powerful witness, because this is only one side of the story. We're going to get to the point where God unleashes two witnesses right at the apocalypse of the Antichrist. There's going to be two witnesses unleashed, one that represents the olive branch, Israel, and one that represents the lampstand, the church. And for 3.5 years, no one's going to be able to stop him. And we'll tell you in a separate MP3 down the road in this course you're getting, that there may be the greatest harvest and ingathering of people turning to Christ because they know what's here. They know what's among them. They know what's occurring. Plus, God unleashes great witness, and God unleashes signs and wonders and powers. It may be the last final global attempt to take the gospel everywhere and to bring in millions to Christ, because Antichrist goes crazy in the middle because he can't stop it. And we'll look at the attempt of the annihilation of all believers in the mid part of the tribulation. Anyway, this is Russ Dizdar. This is Shadow of the Darkness, the Black Awakening internet course based on the coming book. God bless you.